It's always so nice to have Leslie here, isn't it?
Yes.
That song, Happy, if you enjoyed it, there's a website, happy24.com, I think is what it is. Anyway, it's 24 hours of people dancing along to that song. And it's kind of fun if you ever have one of those moments in your day where it's like, you just tap it on. There you go. Okay, so this morning, I'd like to start with setting up this talk with looking at the basics of this teaching, because this week I had a couple of opportunities to go back to the basics of this teaching, and it's truly what grounds me, and it's what opens my heart to what's possible. Because here's some basic truths that I had the opportunity of learning here. And that is that there is only one. It's the thing itself. It's God. But there is only one. It's not me and God. It's not me and you. It's one. That's it. It's all God. And the way God experiences creation is through us. Nothing is happening to us. It's all happening through us. Whatever you call it, whatever this essence is that is one, it experiences its creation through us, as us, and with us. And how does it do it? By just saying yes, by taking whatever it is we're thinking, we're feeling, really truly thinking, feeling, not what we're supposed to be, but what we're really truly thinking and what we're really truly saying and feeling and experiencing and doing, and it just says yes. You want more of that? Yes. My child, yes. It's always available. And it's always working in harmony with. Now, sometimes we decide that the harmony should be more around chaos and disharmony, right? Sometimes we decide it should be more about disharmony. But what I know is how we use it is through our words and our deeds, through what we're really, really, really thinking. That's how we use it. That's what it knows to say yes to. And so, if we don't like the way things are looking, we are at complete choice. We get to choose to change it up. And if we like how things are working, we get to say, thank you, yes, more of this, please. Because it's all up to how we decide that this one is experiencing its life through us. Those are the basic truths. They sound so simple, yet they are so easy to forget. Our founder, Ernest Holmes, wrote, "There is one mind by which we think, one spirit by which we live, one body of which we are part, one light that lights everyone's path. One spirit, one mind, one substance, one God in whom we all live. One law that we all use. The infinite must be one, for there could not be two infinite beings. Whatever changes take place must take place within this one." And it takes place in this one. Excuse me, this thing's choking me. It takes place through this one because how we decide to express it, to use it. It's just one. It's not me against anything or anybody. It's just one. And this week, I had a couple of things happen that sort of rocked my world. You ever had those weeks where it's like one thing after another thing just sort of rocks your world? You know? sometimes on the upside, and sometimes it's rocking it on not such an upside, it appears. It's like stuff comes out of left field, and it leaves you kind of shaken, full of regret. For me, there's also a little bit of loss, whole lot of anger. You know, those conversations that you have with Spirit that are just explosive, and then you realize that you're just sort of yelling at yourself, so you stop. Well, here's the thing. I remembered the fact that we all have stuff. Each and every one of us has stuff going on. And when we work through this stuff, there's more stuff, right? There's always more stuff. And no matter how much faith you have, no matter how much time you sit in meditation and how positive you are and how ingrained this teaching is, there's always stuff. Because that's life. Life is all about the stuff. So, to live a rich and rewarding life, a life that's based on these spiritual principles, a life that's stepping out in peace, stepping out in love, it's not about trying to make sure your life has no stuff in it. It's about recognizing that that stuff is just part of the normal process. It's about accepting it, blessing it, and letting it go. It's about not playing the old poor me card. It's about saying there is nothing that without God's support I cannot handle. There's nothing. And God's support is always right where I am because there's only one. So those basic truths this week reminded me that the power is right where I am. I have all of the power I need. I have all of the things necessary to move out of this stuff and to be ready for whatever the next stuff is. Because it's all one. Because no matter how bad it feels, we're not alone. We're never, ever alone. Because we're always with the infinite. Always. And that infinite makes sure that we're never lost and makes sure that we are always guided. And it is there to help us move from a place of worry and doubt, from a place of fretting and a place of anger. And it's there to move us into a place of joyful expectation to what's next. Once we remember, it's all one. It, that one, is what moves us from where we are to a higher level beyond the stuff, to seeing that it's truly love expressing. It allows us to remember that this is a world of cause and effect. And we have everything we need to do what we need to do. Dale Carnegie wrote a book, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. I actually first found this book on my father's bookshelf, which is rather amazing to me because when I first brought him to a religious science church, he was like, "You don't really go to church, do you? You just kind of go to a happy place and sing a lot." And I was like, "Yeah, that's it. That's what I do once a week. I go to a happy place and sing a lot." But he had this book on his bookshelf by Dale Carnegie. And here's one of my favorite quotes. "Obviously, circumstances alone do not make us happy or unhappy. It is the way we react to the circumstances that determines our feelings. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is within you." He also should have said, "Where the kingdom of hell." There is nothing that can unshake our world more than just taking a breath and remembering. It's all one. It's about uncomplicating all of those thoughts and all of those feelings and getting back to that one simple place. That simple place of knowing it's all God. It's all unfolding perfectly. And it's not unfolding without complete and total love and support. That is how you get to decide to keep it simple, keep it real, and keep the power that is yours by divine birthright. Do that. Once we decide that this is all okay, that this too shall pass, that's when grace and ease sort of step in. Have you noticed that? When you kind of give up trying to hold on to all of that fretting and stewing, then space just opens and ease and grace moves in and all that stuff isn't as bad. And you know that the stuff coming isn't going to be as bad. For me, I first have to become willing to be vulnerable to what's going on, to allow that wind of change to move across my soul. That allows me at that point to know it's time to open. When I'm willing to be vulnerable, I'm willing to let that wind move across my soul, then I can remember my real truth, that it is all going to be fine because it is just stuff. And that stuff compared to the one is nothing, absolutely nothing. Our founder, Ernest Holmes, speaks beautifully in the textbook when he writes, how we long for a return of that simple truth in life which children have. In their minds, there are no doubts. They have not been told that they're sinners, that they are void of divine guidance. They still believe in that spiritual life. The life of a child is a life lived in natural goodness. God is that natural goodness. The prison walls of false experience soon build up themselves into barriers shutting out the light. The child grows into a man and often loses his sense of that inner guide, leading his footsteps. But we are always able to return the way we came, as children who know that life is good and to be trusted. So in the spirit of keeping things simple, I'd like to ask each of us to step back and take a look of three pieces of wisdom that as children we all had. And look at how we can bring that into play in today's world. The wisdoms are bye-bye wisdom, all gone wisdom, and whoopsie wisdom. Okay? So let's start with that part of us when we were growing up. You know how you were dependent, but yet it was at a certain point in time you wanted to be independent? And it was easy, right, to go from being dependent to independent and back to dependent again. It got to a place where we were sort of interdependent with our siblings and our parents, right? I can do this. But when I can't, I know there's someone there that'll help. It's not about being codependent, but it's about being interdependent. I think when we look at our relationship with the One, it's truly a relationship of interdependence. Spirit expresses and experiences life through us. And we express and experience life with Spirit. It's like this great dance. There's a give and a take. There's a serving and being served. There's a supporting and being supported. There's a standing in our own personal power. There's an ability for us to celebrate others who are doing the exact same thing. There's a dependence. There's an interdependence. But before we get too far, let's go back to that whole idea of childhood. Remember that first separation anxiety? Whether it's when you left the child, your child for the first time to go out on that date night, that very first date night, and you had to leave it with a babysitter? Or what about that time when it's time to go to school for the first time and your parents aren't around? Or you're not around to take care of your child. Do you remember that? Remember that whole idea of bye-bye? Bye-bye didn't mean see ya whenever. Bye-bye meant see you soon. Bye-bye meant it's okay to go. It's okay to go. Because I know that there's something better that I'm going to, and there's always someone that's going to be back to pick me up, no matter what. When we are able to say bye-bye and know that we're not being left alone, we're actually just being left to a greater level of independence. We're actually just being left for a period of time to move forward. How many times in your life in this past year would bye-bye wisdom serve you? Maybe when a job ends, a relationship ends, a life experience doesn't really go as planned. Maybe a dream ends. What if that end is simply a choice of bye-bye? We're not trying to hold on to it, not trying to fix it or reframe it or reshape it or justify it. We just say bye-bye because something else is happening. Something else is coming. As a child, we knew bye-bye just meant so long for now because something else or someone else or the same someone at a different time is arriving. Co-founder of Unity, Charles Fillmore, wrote the following. The love of God for his children is beyond description, a love so tender, love that the world knows. The great love of being is deeper and wider than the thoughts and the words human its own plane, and we must awaken ourselves through our own childhood in a capacity to God is. Childlike simplicity, when it's time for something to go, instead of fretting and stewing, what if we just said bye-bye and allowed ease and grace to show up? Possessions, experiences, people, just let it go. We just said bye. And then allowed for spirit to just cover us and hold us in the love. The love that allows for grace and ease to allow whatever's next to show up. So after bye-bye wisdom, there's always that all-gone wisdom. Remember, if you've been around a little child and they've got this plate full of goodness, chicken nuggets or whatever you want to call it, right? And they just, it's yummy and they're just eating up. And then it's all gone. They may be asking for more, but for the most part, they get that whole concept of all gone. And they move on to whatever's next. They don't keep trying more. It's not about the idea of not having enough. It's not about lack. It's not about, I got to get more of this. I need to have more possessions. I need to have more. It's about, okay, it's all gone. There's wisdom in knowing that. But yet, as adults, we get really clean, don't we? We don't want it to all be gone. Because we're afraid, to a certain extent, of what might be next. But instead of that dread of what is next, what if we just sat in joyful expectation of what's about to come? Because whatever we bad is all gone. And now it's time for something new. In the Prosperity Plus experiment that we're doing, one of the assignments this week was to take on a spiritual practice of letting go of stuff, cleaning out drawers and closets and books, just letting it go, knowing that when we needed it again, it would show up. It would just show up right when it was supposed to. It is that wisdom of all gone. I'm all done with this now, and I'm ready to move on to something else. It's about opening a space in joyful anticipation of whatever is going to show up next. When we say all gone to an experience, to a job, to a relationship, it's all gone. It takes some of the sting away, doesn't it? It takes some of the pressure off of it. And it makes way for the one to provide whatever is next. Because what we all know is that that one creates a way even when we see that way. But we have to move from a place of being clingy and stingy to a place of recognizing that it's truly all gone. And it's okay. And finally, there's that whoopsie wisdom. Remember the word whoopsie? You know, when a kid goes to fall, they're starting to learn how to walk, and they go to fall, and they fall, and you don't want to make a big deal out of it because you don't want them to cry. So it's just whoopsie. That's it. Whoopsie, you fell. I believe that that one spirit, that one universal mind, loves the word whoopsie. And we should do it again. See, in truth, we never really fail. We make mistakes. There's errors. There are things that show up that we're not really planning. Things don't always go as we think they should go. But instead of beating ourselves up, what if we just said, whoopsie, and we moved on? A statesman, Hugh White, wrote, "When you make a mistake, don't look back at it long. Take the reason of the thing into mind, and then look forward. Mistakes are lessons of wisdom. The past cannot be changed. The future is what is yet to be in your power." Right now, all we have is right now. And if we don't like right now, we can change it simply by saying whoopsie and moving on. The way James Joyce said it, he said, "Mistakes are the portals of discovery." Whoopsie. Thomas Edison once wrote that when inventing the light bulb, he never made one mistake. It was a 1,000-step process, but there was not one mistake. You see, as long as when we're falling forward, we're falling to a place of knowing that whatever's next is going to be greater, then whoopsie becomes a wonderful, wonderful word. Quote from Holmes, "If we make..." tomorrow. If today we took a look at what is cluttering up our space, and instead of trying to hold on, we just said bye-bye. If we took a look of where we think we need to hold on and create more, and we just said, okay, all gone now. That relationship is all gone now. That anger is all gone now. And we allowed ourselves to fall forward in that attitude of there's another whoops. How would our day change? How much lighter would we be? How much more space would we have for ease and grace? Isn't that what we all want more of, is ease and grace? Bye-bye, all gone, and whoopsie. It takes the pressure off, and it opens up the possibilities that that one has for each and every one of us. So, today, I invite you to celebrate one bye-bye, to acknowledge one all gone, and to take one thing and just allow whoopsie to let it go. Because today is a day full of ease and grace. Today is a wonderful day that the one has made for us to celebrate in. Not to struggle in, but to celebrate in. And I, for one, am so blessed to be able to celebrate it with each of you. And so